Do you freeze up with fear when thinking about being interviewed on a podcast? Does your inner critic tell you that you don't have what it takes or that no one will listen to you? My guest today is Melita Campbell, known as the Value Whisperer, who struggled with shyness herself before becoming a confident podcast host. Melita shares her journey from writing The Shy Girl's Guide to Networking to now hosting nearly 200 interviews, as well as practical tips for moving past your fears and self-doubt. If you want to finally silence your inner critic and start podcasting with confidence, you won't want to miss this episode. Hello, incurable creators. I'm excited to bring you some bonus episodes featuring exclusive interviews from the 2023 PodUp Virtual Podcasting Summit. Each Thursday for months, you're going to hear interviews from a diverse range of podcasting and marketing experts. My hope is these repurposed interviews will inspire you with new ideas and insights to take your podcast to the next level. And of course, remember to listen every Tuesday for our regular episodes of Podcasting Secrets as well. Now, let's dive into today's bonus interview from PodUp's 2013 Podcasting Summit. Hello, I'm Nathan Gwilliam, the CEO of PodUp and your host for the Podcasting Summit. I'm joined today by Melita Campbell. Melita is a business coach who focuses on helping business owners identify their true value. She's often referred to as the Value Whisperer. She runs a podcast called the Driven Female Entrepreneur Podcast, and she's written a book called A Shy Girl's Guide to Networking, a practical guide to networking for business success. And today we're going to talk about podcasting with confidence. Thank you so much for joining us, Melita.
You're welcome. It's a real pleasure.
So we're going to talk about confidence in podcasting today. Let's talk about your journey to achieve confidence. Tell me, how confident were you when you started your podcast?
Oh, great question. mixed, I think. So you mentioned in the introduction that I wrote The Shy Girl's Guide to Networking, so which kind of hints at the idea that I wasn't terribly confident at networking, showing up, public speaking, connecting with people, any of that. I really avoided it for an extremely long time, for way too long, until I moved to Switzerland, in fact. And everything here is done through networking. I didn't know anyone. I had to find a way to get out there. And so I built methodologies to build my confidence. And through that, I discovered that I could do things like public speaking. And in fact, I started to be asked to speak on all sorts of different topics. And bit by bit, my confidence was growing. And I learned that confidence is something that comes after taking action, not something that comes before. So all those years, I kept myself back because I was waiting to be confident first. It was nonsense, really, because that was never going to happen that way. So it was a great lesson for me. But then I had kids. So I took a few years out of the spotlight. I wasn't really doing much networking. I definitely wasn't speaking. And then I launched my business, and this particular business especially. And suddenly the social media was a thing. It really wasn't a big thing at all when I first started my first business. But now there was social media. You had to do live videos. And I was terrified. So I thought, okay, I'll start by interviewing people. So I started interviewing people on my Facebook group, and that was really fun. But then they were sharing so much wisdom, so much great advice. I felt that I was holding there. It was a shame not to share that further. So that's why I started my podcast. So when I started, I was nervous because I hadn't done anything like that before. It was a bigger audience, and suddenly it felt more professional. I had a proper mic and everything, but I had done it before because I'd been doing it in my group for a long time. So I think starting where I felt comfortable was really helpful, but it did feel like a big step up because suddenly, gosh, the entire world could hear this. Of course, the entire world doesn't. it was mixed, as I say, kind of confident, kind of not. But one reason that I wanted to start my podcast was because, as I'd learned before, if I don't push myself consistently outside my comfort zone, I can shrink back really quickly. So it's been great for maintaining my confidence. And actually, I've just loved every minute of the podcasting journey of the last 3 years.
A lot of people think that podcasters must be extroverts. But I found that a lot of the great podcasters are actually introverts because they can record from their home and they're not in this, even though they're speaking to a whole bunch of people, they're not in a big auditorium with a lot of people there. They're in the comfort and security of their small recording studio or home or whatever. Have you seen that as well, a lot of introvert podcasters?
Yeah, absolutely. And there was a whole while where there was like podcasts, like various podcasts specifically for introverts. I think a lot of them have evolved now to like more specific topics away from introversion. But yeah, a lot of them. I think it depends because I was an introvert who was very shy, but I've learned the skills of public speaking. But there are certain people who are very shy and they haven't developed those skills yet of asking questions and developing a subject. So it's a scale for everything, but I definitely don't think it's an area that is just for extroverts or just for introverts. But introverts have some natural skills that make them excellent, particularly for interviews, because they typically listen, reflect, and so they can really get deeper into topics and stories and some extroverts, I think. So I don't think it's a extrovert or introvert thing. I think if it's something that you feel you want to do, then go do it. You know, I think it's more that if it's something that you feel I have something to share that's valuable, I want to do this, then that's the main driver.
I love your point that you made earlier that you don't have to have the confidence and then do your show, but by doing your show, you actually gain the confidence. And I definitely saw that as I did my show. I remember at the beginning, I was not confident. I felt I had to write out my scripts and I was reading my scripts and they looked horrible because I wasn't confident in my ability to talk on the topic. But I found the more I did it and got through enough episodes of it, I became very comfortable talking and speaking with no notes, with no scripts, and the quality definitely went up a lot. So kind of like you were saying, you got to put in the reps, you got to get in and do it. And as we do that, our confidence definitely increases.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And when I started doing videos, I had a little teleprompter that was just below the camera so that I didn't have to worry, what if I mess up my words or forget what to say? Or it just got me going. But as you say, the quality, the fluidity isn't quite there when you do that. So after a while, I learned to just have some bullet points and trust myself a bit more and practice beforehand. And bit by bit, you learn these different skills. But you know, there's that old saying, isn't it? You don't have to be great to start, but you have to start to be great. So I think we were talking a little bit before, what are these big mistakes that people make that hold back their confidence? And I think it's this idea of being perfect and waiting to have the confidence, waiting till you can do things perfectly, because you know, whoever does anything perfectly, even if you listen to some of the podcasters who have these enormous shows, they fluff their lines and there are big gaps and it's never perfect. But you just have to realize that if your message and your vision is bigger than the fears you have or the need to get things perfect, you can, it's more important to get your message out there and start building that audience. And the good thing is, when you have a new podcast, you don't even have an audience really. So no one's really there in the early days, just a handful of people. So you don't have to worry too much about it destroying your reputation. I hear that quite a lot, but it's going to like destroy my brand if I'm not perfect. And it's not the case at all. You grow your community and they grow with you.
I don't think the goal is to be perfect. Some people think that a script or a teleprompter is what will help us achieve perfection. But the perfect podcast is not read from a script on a teleprompter. If you see those podcasts that do that, it's robotic. It's not relatable. It's not authentic. And the perfect podcast comes from someone or people speaking from their hearts.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I'm a business coach and I help women who have a business to feel confident, getting more visible, sharing their value, taking that forward. So I kind of feel that if I mess up, I'm doing a service for my audience because they can think, oh, well, if she's out there and she's that bad, I can do better than that. So I'm always reminding myself, actually, mistakes are really good. It's encouraging for other people.
Okay, so you mentioned a tip of working with interviews and bringing other people on and having a conversation. And that helps to increase our confidence as we're not feeling like we have to do the entire podcast ourselves. That's one tip that helped me a lot is to bring guests onto the show. Definitely increase my confidence in podcasting. What other podcasting tips and secrets could you share to help people boost their confidence?
Yeah, I think on that point, I found it easier interviewing people, but I know other people who have done it the other way around. They started this a solo show because doing interviews was really scary for them. So they have built up to interviews. So I thought it's interesting that everyone's personality is different. So I think the first tip is to, you know, embrace that idea that it might not be perfect. You may feel scared and it will feel hard because there's lots of new things you have to learn, but that's okay. Because that's our path to success. That's what we have to go through. So if you're feeling nervous, if you're feeling scared, if it's feeling overwhelming, you know, just accept it's going to be like that. And then put those thoughts behind you and carry on. You know, don't let them drag you down or hold you back. So I think that's the first thing, is just to recognize that. But you can also, and I kind of alluded to this already, have a vision for your podcast. Know what message you want to share, who you want to have an impact, what impact you want to have and for whom. And that purpose, once it's big enough, it will already overshadow your fears. So you may be feeling nervous, but then you think, yes, but if I don't get out there, then this person or this group of people will stay stuck when I could be helping them. So if you have a big enough vision, then it shrinks your fears, or it shrinks them in your mind so that you can overcome those easier. And one thing I encourage my clients to do, it's something that I developed that they could use before a sales call, but I think it works just as well before a podcast, and that's to create their own playbook. So it's just a one page where they have everything that they can read before they go live, just to give themselves that quick sort of injection of confidence. So we'll have things like reviews from your listeners, so you can remind yourself that what you're doing is valuable and people do enjoy listening to you and take real value away from that. And also remind yourself of your vision. Why are you doing this? What is your goal? What is your brand? How do you want to be showing up? And any little reminders as well. So for me, it's to try not to say so before everything, and just some little reminders. But I've learned to edit now, so it's not so bad. But you know, when I was listening back, I was like, oh my gosh, I say that all the time. So just some little reminders, but also then some affirmations, things, or I like to call them empowering truths, things to remind you of the fears you have that aren't true. So we all have this little voice in our mind. And sometimes the inner critic we have is a good thing. It helps us to grow and become better and to keep pushing ourselves. But sometimes it runs away and goes too much in the negative and tells us what we can't do and we're no good at things. So if it ventures into that sort of realm, I have these empowering truths to kind of put the record straight. So if it's something like it's telling me, oh, no one's going to listen to you, then my empowering truth would be the right people find my message inspiring and valuable. So you can put these kind of empowering truths in there as well. So you've got your own little playbook that's going to help you get in the right space. And maybe it's some music that you like to play. There was someone, I can't remember, it was in someone's book, and they had, before they drove to work, they used to play the music in their mind. It's not even in the car. And then they walk into the office. Yeah. And they would walk into the office and people would notice them. They had that right vibe about them. And one time they played that music before going into a coffee shop just to see if it would change anything. And people parted ways so they could go to the front. And they said it was really funny. It was just something about that music changed their frequency in some way. So it can be anything like that that helps you to feel your best before you go and record your podcast.
Yeah, I love that. So some kind of playbook, which might include some kind of checklist. Another thing that helps me is to kind of have a standard format. Even though the interviews are different and you don't want to make them all the same, but you have a standard format of what you do at the beginning. You have a standard format of what you do at the end. You have a series of questions that you traditionally ask. And not only does that make it easier for me as a podcaster by following a format or a methodology, I find that my listeners kind of come to expect that format, right? I do key takeaways at the end, right? And they love it. And there's people that know there's always going to be my key takeaways at the end. And they'll even skip through the whole episode and just to get to the key takeaways so they can get the summary. So following a standard format, doing a playbook, having a checklist. Another thing that I found really helps me is being prepared. If I go into a podcast unprepared, it's really hard to feel confident. And my confidence skyrockets when I visited their website and looked at their LinkedIn and I know their books and I know their podcasts and I have the questions to ask and I have the bios to ask. And when I feel ready, it feels like that confidence even shows a lot more in the podcasts I'm doing.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I have the same experience with my clients. There was just one, guest that really threw me off because it almost felt like it was the wrong way around. And all the research I'd done, she didn't show up as expected at all. And there was, the interview itself in the end was great, but I didn't feel my most confident going into that. I felt confident going into it, but very quickly that was knocked because things weren't as expected. But that's one out of, I've done now nearly 200 interviews and all up there yet. But so I keep reminding myself that was just a one-off. And I went back to see, could I have done anything differently? And I don't think I could. But I think the guests like that are few and far between. Most of them are just amazing. And we were talking earlier, it's just what I hadn't expected from my podcast was just what brilliant networking it would be and meeting all these inspiring people from around the world. And it's a bit like your private mastermind because you can ask them questions like, well, how do you do this? and you know, really getting the value for your audience, but also for you, it's really fun.
I agree. I think hosting a podcast is like having your own private mastermind. You can invite the smartest experts in your niche to come and have these conversations with them and learn from them. And it's a university in your niche.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's talk about confidence killers for a minute. We've talked about a couple of them already. Maybe not being prepared would be a confidence killer.
I think the idea of perfectionism, trying to get it too perfect, as you say, it holds you back, but it also doesn't make a quality podcast either, because there was some we like having a discussion. We like it when it's not perfect. It feels natural. And so I think there's a certain quality in that as well. So embrace the kind of messy podcasting almost. But I think another big thing, and it's kind of linked to that, and it's linked to imposter syndrome, is this comparisonitis. This, we'll listen to other podcasts because we're in that space. So we're always listening to others, getting inspired. But sometimes we can see other podcasters and think, oh, I'm never going to be that good. Or, oh, they do this so much better than me. Maybe I should stop. All of these kind of thoughts, it's really dangerous. I think it's great to go out and be inspired by what other people are doing, but then think, well, why am I inspired? Why is this resonating with me? What can I learn from that and bring to my podcast to enhance the value and the experience I create for my audience? So like one thing I started to do is like a little teaser at the beginning, which is just a snippet of what's coming up in the conversation right at the very beginning. I heard that on someone else's show and was like, oh, I love that. And now you're talking about the key takeaways. I was like, ooh, I might introduce that to my show as well. But it's not comparing. It's just looking at what else is working, what else is great, and could that be something that your audience would really appreciate and create that amazing experience for them as well. So it's kind of borrowing what other people are doing, being inspired, but make it your own.
I'm going to share an embarrassing experience that happened to me on a podcast once. I got interviewed by a top podcaster, a very, very large podcast. And I had a series of questions that I had prepared for this podcast and a direction that I thought the podcast was going.
And this interviewer went a completely different direction. And I was not prepared to go that direction. And I tried to go that direction with him. And because I was not prepared to go that direction, the quality of my interview was poor. And the podcaster, this is so embarrassing, but the podcaster contacted me back and said he wasn't going to publish the interview. And I was mortified. I was so embarrassed that that had happened to me. And I learned from that lesson that what I should have done in that situation, when the tangent was taken and the podcast went a completely different direction than where I thought it was going to go on a topic that I wasn't prepared or confident to talk about, I should have spoken up. I should have said, you know what? I'm not comfortable. I'm not prepared to talk on this topic. Could we go back to these questions that I thought we were going to talk about in this interview? And I learned that lesson that you can have aside conversations with the host. You can have aside conversations even with the editor that's going to edit the video. And if you're not comfortable, say it, stop it, redirect the conversation. And the same thing is true with the editor. If you mess up, if you flub your words, right? Don't feel like, oh my goodness, I messed up, and let it destroy your confidence. What I do is I just talk to the editor when I'm talking. And I've already done that this multiple times, probably three times already in this interview you and I've had. I say something wrong and I just say, editor, I'm going back, or editor, I'm going to redo that. And my editor knows that when I say that, they just remove what I just said and replace it with what I'm about to say. And if you know you're not stuck with a mistake, and you know your editor is going to take out the mistakes, you can have a lot more confidence because a mistake isn't permanent. You know, you just have to redo it. And if you're being interviewed and someone's going a place you're not confident, all you have to do is say, let's not do that question. I'm not comfortable with that question. Can we try another question? And as long as you're comfortable communicating what you need, at least for me, I think it gives a lot more confidence.
Yeah, absolutely. And sorry, I was giggling there because he was saying, editor, I'm going back. And he's like, is he going to cut this bit out that you just said?
I should have told you that before so you knew what was going on.
So, but yes, I think even if you feel like your interviewer is someone who's like several levels above you and a bit of a god or whatever, you can still say, they're still human. So, and they still want to get the best experience for their audience. So if you speak up and say, I can talk about this, but honestly, it's not my area of expertise. I feel I can add much more value in this direction. They're going to say, great, let's go with the value. Let's go with what's going to really work for my audience, because that's what they're looking for, is they want to put out a brilliant podcast, a podcast that their audience are going to thank them for. So you can collaborate with them. It is a collaboration at the end of the day, isn't it? So yeah, I think that's a great story and great advice.
Another confidence killer I deal with, and I'm sure other people deal with as well, is we all have that little voice in our head telling us the negative things, telling us that we're not good enough, kind of holding us back. Do you have any tips or suggestions on how we can manage that inner critic?
Yes, I do. with my clients, a lot of them experience imposter syndrome, and it's linked to this inner critic going a bit haywire. So crossing the line between being helpful, negative, and like holding you back negative. So the first thing is to catch that thought and to challenge it, because often we don't challenge these and they feel real. Like our negative voice, our inner critic may be saying to us, no one's going to listen to what you say. And we're like, oh my gosh, yes. You know, we believe that. So it takes a bit of time to tune into these negative thoughts. But when you do, you want to catch it. And the great thing to do is just simply write it down. And so often you will write that thought down and you'll already say to yourself, well, that's nonsense. That's not true. And you can simply like put it aside and carry on. However, if you write it down and it still feels like it, you can still feel it emotionally, then you want to challenge it. So you want to catch it, and then you want to challenge it and ask, like, is this true? How do I absolutely know that this is true? Could the opposite be true? Can I find evidence to show me that the opposite could be true? And so in that case where, you know, no one's going to listen to me, and you say, well, could the opposite be true? You think, hold on a minute. Yeah, I was doing these videos before and people loved them. So I've got evidence that the opposite could be true. And then you can ask yourself, what would you do or what would you be or who would you be if you didn't have that thought? And then when you have, like, when you think through that, you can ask yourself, well, all of these things I would do if I didn't have this thought, do I feel I could do any of them? And very often we think, yeah, actually, I could do a lot of this already. So you're helping yourself to move forward. And then, as I mentioned earlier, a great thing to do is to choose a better thought. So instead of people aren't going to listen to me, you can think the right people are going to really love my message. And so you can turn these sort of negative thoughts, these limiting beliefs, and turn them into empowering truths, and repeat that to yourself a few times, kind of overwrite that negative voice as well. So you want to catch the thought, challenge it, and then choose something better.
I love that. That is so valuable, what you just shared, for me in particular. So write it down and try to find the evidence to disprove that even. And another idea that's been shared you can do in that situation is even ask yourself, well, what's the worst thing that can happen? Even if this fear were to happen, even if I did fumble on my words, right? What's the worst thing that's going to happen? And sometimes the worst outcome is not that bad. And we're worrying about something that it's really okay. People are still going to love us. People are still going to listen to the show, even if I said so too many times.
Yeah. And I love that exercise. What's the worst that could happen? What would I do if the worst happened? And also, what's the best that could happen? And then what's the most likely? And it's somewhere in between. You know, the worst is really awful. The best is really incredible. But something in between is most realistic. And it can just settle your mind so quickly doing that. Yeah.
Do you have any stories of people you've worked with that dealt with confidence issues and were able to overcome that, and maybe the difference that it made for them and their show or their business?
Definitely in their business, once they built their confidence that they were doing the right thing, that they were in the right place, and that they had something valuable to offer, and then they had the words to put to that, that's when people really feel confident in business, I think. And the same with your podcast. Once you have that vision that you believe in it, you believe you can deliver that vision, you can believe that you can make these things happen. And it's a case of always finding that evidence then to continue proving to yourself. So I have lots of clients. I kind of feel that podcasting is similar to sales in a way, because it is building that relationship with someone that you have perhaps not met yet. And it can be really scary, but a lot of the same tools help. And I have so many clients that once they realized that they could be relaxed and be themselves, and they've been able to show up in those conversations much more confidently and come away with much better results, not just for them, but for their eventual clients as well. And I think it's the same for podcasting. Once you relax, you be yourself, you're going to build an audience of the right people, and you're going to have that wonderful relationship going forward. They're going to support you, you're going to support them, and it just becomes really... Yeah, it's a wonderful experience. And when you meet your listeners for the first time, it's really something quite special that they feel they really have had this relationship with you. So I think it's just a case of giving yourself permission to relax and be yourself. And that's the moment, everyone I've ever worked with, that's the moment when they start to really get results. That's when they really start to attract the right people and opportunities into their lives. And I think it really rings true for podcasting.
Do you have any fears left to conquer in your podcasting journey?
I have been doing interviews now for 3 years, and I've done the occasional solo episode. But each time I do, I get amazing results. And the more people listen in, and they're by far the most popular episodes. So I think the last fear is to do much more solo episodes and perhaps a solo series as I go through. It's hard because I do love the interviews, but I need to step up a bit more in my podcast. So I think that's the next thing, is just to not have occasional solo episodes, but occasional interviews, and flip that round a little bit. So it's part fear, part excitement. I think, is it Bruce Springsteen who, you know, before he goes on stage, he gets sweaty palms and a knot in his stomach, and he feels like He just feels a bit sweaty and out of sorts. And he said, now I know I'm ready. So I kind of feel that's how I'm feeling right now. I was like, no, now I know I'm ready.
Yeah, you channel that energy to helping you be focused on doing a great job instead of letting it make you feel you're not up for it.
Yeah, exactly. Relabel fear as excitement.
Melita, thank you so much for sharing your time and your wisdom with us today. If our audience has enjoyed what you've shared and they want to learn more about your products and services, what are the best ways for them to do that?
So you can find me at my website, melitacampbell.com. That's Melita with two T's. Or I'm always hanging out on LinkedIn. And so, yeah, meet me there and I'd love to have a conversation.
And for those that are listening or watching today, and if you have not taken advantage of the free VIP upgrade for the summit, please click on the link below and you can learn more about all those cool benefits that you can receive. And thank you again for joining us. And I wish you success as you podcast with even more confidence. Here are my key takeaways from this episode. Number one, confidence often comes after taking action, not before. Don't wait until you feel fully confident to start your podcast. Number two, have a big vision for the impact you want your podcast to make. This will help you shrink any fears. Number three, create a playbook with reminders of your vision, positive reviews, and empowering mantras to boost confidence before recording. Number four, embrace the imperfections. A messy, authentic podcast builds connection. Number five, don't compare yourself to other podcasters. Instead, get inspired by what resonates and make it your own. Number six, speak up if an interview goes in an uncomfortable direction. Redirect the conversation. Number seven, catch negative self-talk, write it down, challenge it, and replace it with an empowering thought. And finally, number eight, give yourself permission to relax and be yourself. That's when you'll build relationships with the right listeners. If you're looking for a great all-in-one podcasting platform with more than 35 integrated modules to help you create, grow, and monetize your business around a podcast, then check out PodUp and get a free trial at podup.com. Thanks for joining us for this episode. I wish you success as you grow your confidence by becoming a podcast host.